Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everyone and Radio Live. This is your host, Reverend Dr. C.L. Whitney. It is good to greet each of you this evening in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. At this moment, we're going to request that we all join in prayer, and as we go in prayer this evening, we want to be mindful of all the tragedies, all of the deaths, all of the things that take place on a given day. Let us pray. Eternal and gracious God, our Father, in your precious name we come together tonight, joining our hearts, our spirits, and our mind on one accord, seeking, O God, first of all, for your guidance and your direction. But first of all and foremost, we are thankful for another day's journey. We are thankful for your grace and for your mercy that keeps us going even in the midst of unprecedented challenges. And as we pray tonight, Lord, we pray for the success of the Empire Missionary Baptist Convention 120th annual session that will take place in the city of Rochester on beginning next Sunday and going through to Friday. And God, we pray that you would straighten out the crooked places that might be ahead of us, the bumps and the potholes. God, our Father, we pray that you would show yourself strong, show yourself mighty in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as we continue this journey of faith, as Paul has set an example, that we look to you, God, for you that gives us direction. It is you, Lord, who can, it's you, God, that can straighten out the rough places, smooth out the rough places, and straighten out the crooked places. God, I ask that your mercy and your grace will abound as we journey through our Bible study tonight and even beyond. Oh, God, that you will bless the sick and the afflicted, the prison bound, those who have no hope, those who somehow have gone as far as they can go and seem like there's no way out of their dilemma. Oh, God, that you make a way, because we know you're God who can make a way out of no way. Thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Continue to be with us and guide us and direct us in the way you would have us to go, in the way that we will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Tonight we want to continue and we want to pick up where we left off last week as we've been looking at the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey, and we see him on the move. And we will see from time to time there will inevitably take place some challenges that would make anyone wonder, is it worth that we have to go through to pay for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know tonight, and even beyond tonight, that it is God who can chart our course, and he will see us through our journey completion. He will see us through the rough places, the bumps, and the lumps along the way. But just be assured that God's grace is greater than any challenge that can overtake us. Let us now turn to chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. I want to say tonight that as we journey along the life highway, no doubt we start out, or we have started out, with a straight course, as did Paul. But it won't be long before the storm clouds rise and the storm will overtake us. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, says Jesus. Now, and from thence, verse 12, and from thence to Philippi. And I want you to keep that word in mind, Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. It is interesting, and it is good to know that there was a need for prayer. Paul bumps up on a prayer meeting, and they wanted prayer. And you know one thing, God can show himself in mighty and miraculous ways. When we first of all have the desire and the need to pray, because we know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And there are some great works that are wrought through prayer. So it's wonderful and it's important to begin whatever we do for the Lord with prayer. Don't wait till the storm comes for prayer. Pray before the storm, and when the storm comes, you are fortified to stand whatever winds may blow your way. Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which was spoken of Paul. Let's stop here for a minute. That's interesting. Notice that Paul was in a strange place, but nevertheless, there was someone whose heart had been touched and opened by God, which gave Paul an entree to speak the word. Isn't it good to know that in the midst of our journey of faith, God has already touched those that will come across our path. God has already prepared the soil for the planting of the gospel seed. And it's good to know that whatever roadblocks, whatever hindrances, whatever storm may rise, God is already in control. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And when she, speaking of Lydia, was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Throughout the journey, there are those who are not only seeking God, but there are those who are sick and possessed and need the healing hand of God's word upon their life. And this person, this young girl who was working for the men of the city, and she was bringing them much gain through the divination of soothsaying. Truth of the matter is, the power of the gospel entered into her life, and she was not the same again. All right, now look at 17. The same, that's speaking of the young maiden, the same followed Paul and us. This is Luke recording what happened, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, something else I want you to notice is very, very important, that even though this young lady was possessed and was engaged in soothsaying, power of God intervened into her life. She had to change the course of her life. And so many of us, as we go about on this journey, we come in contact with those who are on the wrong track. But we can turn them around. Power of the word that we present to them that will bring about a change. And when that change comes, there's no second guessing. There's no one that can override the power that has come in the person's life. All right. And she followed Paul and his journey 10 many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Notice he didn't speak to the young lady. He spoke to the spirit of evil and soothsaying. He spoke to the evil spirit. Hallelujah. And he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Another point to remember is that the gospel, that's the good news of Jesus Christ, uproots the status quo. The power of the gospel disturbs the comfortable nature, gets us out of our comfort zone. He stirs us to the point where we can't stay the way we are. We got to make a change. And when we make a change, it's a complete change. It's from head to toe. It's just not in part, but it's a whole. I remember the song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy, all my soul, like the sea billow, since Jesus came into my heart. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. The merchants could no longer depend on the gain that she was making for their industry. And the 20th verse, I read that, but I want to read it again. And they brought them, Paul and Silas, to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now, that's true in a way. In other words, they were saying they were disturbing the peace. And there comes a time the peace, which is false peace, has to be disturbed. And see what verse 21 says. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Roman. And the multitude rose up together against, and the magistrate rent off the clothes. In other words, they tore off the clothes and command to beat them. You wonder, is it worth? I say, it's worth it. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And if he did not keep them secured, let me tell you, the jailer's life would be taken. So they had to ensure every caution they possibly could muster up to make sure that the prisoner, Paul and Silas, would not get out of jail. But here's a great point. When God is moving, power of God is in action, there is nothing that man can do to stop it. It may seem or appear like they are slowing it down, but know that they cannot stop it. Hallelujah. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, that's referring back to verse 23, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They were put in maximum security. They were put in a position where, humanly speaking, it would be impossible for them to break forth. But hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Oh, I'm getting excited now because I know that God is positioning Paul and Silas in their prison situation. And, oh, I tell you, I think of my own life when I have been in straight places where it didn't look like there was no way out. But when God came in, he showed up and showed out. And whatever needed to be done, whether it was opening a closed door or shut an open door, God would do whatever he needed to do, when he needed to do it, and how he needed to do it, and to whom he needed to do it. And so let's read on. And at midnight, I want you to underscore midnight. Some of you might be in midnight situation right now. Some of you might be in a situation or circumstance where it seems like you are secured in maximum security, and there is no way out. But at midnight, now I'm sure they didn't wait till midnight to pray. But they prayed, remember early on when we start reading, remember that prayer that they did by the riverside? Well, that prayer then was to get them ready for this midnight situation. Hallelujah. Let's read on. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now, it's interesting, everybody in the prison was free, because with the earthquake did not just break open Paul and Silas's prison, but it was the whole jail. The whole jail was set free. But guess what? Our reading never shows us where anybody but Paul and Silas broke free of their band. Let's look at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He knew, the prisoner knew, that first of all, he shouldn't have been asleep in the first place. But he presumed, because he had him in what he considered was maximum security, there was no way out. And he was right in thinking that. Came short of thinking that when God's power is in force, what is humanly impossible become providentially possible. Hallelujah. I thank God for the word tonight. Amen. Looking at the next verse, 28. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. We are out of ice and bond. We are out. But God has freed us. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you tonight. I'm here tonight to declare to you who are listening, that God will open up the prison door. He'll open up closed doors that are shut in your face. And he will give you his wonderful peace of deliverance. Now, it says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. This is the judge. This is the jailer, rather. And brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Hallelujah. And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And it took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God with all his house. What our journey be like tonight if we would have such a burning and so sincere desire to save those who are in prison, those who are captive, those who are bruised. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus talks about. I've came, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to send sight to the blind. Oh, hallelujah. To be with those who are captive and to set at liberty those that are bound. Oh, hallelujah. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeants saying, let these men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrate has sent to let you go now. Therefore, depart and go in peace. I want to add something. I want to add a postscript to what the jailer has said. Go in peace, for I have experienced a peace that passes all understanding. I have experienced a peace that will keep you in the midst of a storm. I have a peace that man cannot give. So depart and go in peace. Amen. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, in Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and get us out. Now, isn't that wise for them? They knew that if they privately, people wouldn't get the full message. But they had to do it publicly. What they did to Paul and Silas was public, and the response in letting them go should be done in public. And the sergeant told these words unto the magistrate, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. Remember, we talked about Lydia at the very beginning of our reading tonight. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now, this is a wonderful prelude to the founding of the church at Thessalonica. That begins in the 17th chapter. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Notice here, Paul, even though he has been charged to send the gospel and spread the gospel to the Gentile area, he has never given up on the Jews. Wherever there was opportunity, he made sure that the Jews would hear the good news. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and some consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Now, we know without even reading that there is going to be opposition. The word of God is spreading. And any time the word of God spreads, you can rest assured that there is going to be opposition. Because the enemy is fully aware that wherever the gospel of Jesus is preached, souls that he thought he had are set free and delivered, and he no longer has a chance. In other words, it destroys his kingdom. It destroys his power. It weakens him any time he comes up against the power of God. It automatically weakens the power of the enemy. Praise be to God. But the Jews, which believe not, moved with envy to them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down also, when Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, then go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Teaches us that it's not enough just to read the scripture, but we got to know the scripture, and we know the scripture by searching the scripture. And by searching the scripture, we will find in them eternal life. Hallelujah. Therefore, many of them believe also of honorable women, which were Greek, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the women, the word of God, that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. I wonder why they could not just let Paul and Silas do what they were commanded to do by God. Hallelujah. There's a song that comes to mind. I got Jesus, and that's enough. There have been so many times, there's always somebody talking about me. Really, I don't mind. They try to block and stop my progress most of the time. But the mean things you say and the mean things you do can't make me feel bad, because I can't miss a friend that I never had. I got Jesus, and that's enough. And I'm sure that could have been Paul and Silas' song as they sang while they were in jail. Amen. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. Paul is gone, but Silas is still there. All right, we're going to close here. And next week, we will pick up and see what happened to Paul. And Paul is going to come up against some opposition. Just remember, wherever he goes, wherever he is, there will be opposition. But know the power of God is able. And as we close tonight, I want to give our benediction now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to think or ask, according to the power of God that worketh in us. May the Spirit of the living God continue to guide us on our faith journey. In Jesus' name, we do pray and give him the honor, glory, and the church say, amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen.